passage tonight. You know, there's a lot of people out there looking for peace. And if you've been watching the TV over the last year, I have one scripture. People have been talking about all the stresses in families, and they think that they've got one problem solved, and then what happens? Another problem erupts. You know, there could be no peace without God. There's no peace without Christ. Christ says to his disciples in his last days, he says, "My peace I give unto you. Peace I leave unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you." And then he says, you're going to have issues in this world, but you can have peace that goes through them. You know, there is no peace to the wicked. There's all sorts of scripture talking about peace. If you know God, you can know peace. If you do not know God, you do not know peace. And even, you know, you hear talk shows and people just talk about all the issues. And it seems like everybody's afraid or worried about something. You know, over 100 times, Paul uses the word peace in to talk to people. And he puts in his letters, in the opening and the closing, he says, "I want peace for you." And our text tonight is going to be a very simple message, because either you have peace or you don't. Either you possess it or you need it. And if you need it, you can get it tonight, because God's in the house. Amen. And Ephesians chapter 2, Paul starts this letter with this. He says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." See, if you have God's grace, you will know His peace. If you received His grace of salvation, you will understand the peace of God that passeth understanding. So there's 3 points tonight on what peace do we really need in our lives. It's not world peace, okay? You might need peace with your sibling. You may need peace in your family. You may need peace at work. And the Bible does say, blessed are the what? Peacemakers, for they shall be called the what? Children of God. But most important, folks, what we need is we need peace with God. We need peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says there this. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, we should be ministers of reconciliation. We need to make peace between God and man. That's what Christ did. He's the mediator between God and men. See, this is a peace that shows our condition with God. If you know God's peace, you're saved by this verse right here. If you don't have peace in your life, you need to get saved. And you need to follow Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18, we use this scripture this morning. And it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled to us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." How did He reconcile? Folks, before we received Christ as our Savior, we had a sin debt that we could not pay. There was no amount of effort that you could do to get rid of that. But I thank God the Father that He sent His Son Jesus. Yes. To live a perfect life, to show the righteousness of God in the flesh, to show truth and grace in the flesh, and to die on the cross to make peace with God for us. My heart's desire is that every one of you know that peace of God. Everyone that's listening on the internet knows the peace of God. All my co-workers know the peace of God. My neighbors know the peace of God. We need to be reconciled to God. The peace here that's talked about is to be reconciled, to basically have no issue with God. There's no division between us and God. Do we have that kind of peace? Do we have that kind of peace? It's a peace that shows our condition with God. Therefore, being what? Justified by faith. That's our choice. There's a lot of people that put a lot of faith in other things than God. There's a lot of Christians that put more faith in a light switch than in God. Folks, what we need to understand our position in God. And He has made peace. We have peace with God for this. It's a peace that is confirmed in knowing. You know if you are saved or not. You know if you have God's peace in your heart or not. And you know if you don't. See, the peace with God is something that you know deep down inside. There's no doubt about this. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life." Folks, to be peace with God is to have eternal life. To have peace with God is to be saved. There's no other way to get. Know God, no peace. K-N-O-W, God. K-N-O-W, peace. N-O, God. N-O, peace. Folks, we just need to understand that. And if we have the peace with God, we should know that. There's a lot of people today that live as if they don't have peace with God. There's something wrong with that. My Bible tells you that you may know that ye have eternal life, and His life is in His Son. It's a peace that should control our fear. It's a peace that should control our fear. See, this issue about peace is that there's no torment. There's no concern. There's no worry. You know, when you have a problem with your brother or sister or your mom or dad, you know that there's friction there. Folks, this peace with God, there's no friction between us and God. There's none. We're justified freely by His grace. But it's a peace that controls our fear. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love." It could be also translated like this: there's peace in love. Because where there's no fear, there's what? Peace. There's no worry. There's no concern. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You know, if you don't have peace with God tonight, Christian, you need to love Him more. If there's something between you and God, there's some broken fellowship, you need to love Him more. Because my Bible tells me right here, it says, but perfect love, what? Casteth out fear. Because fear hath what? Tormented. You know, there's a lot of people say, "I just don't understand why all these things are happening to me." Get right with God. Get right with God, or keep God in sight. If you know you're doing, and you know if you're doing right or wrong. You know in your heart. You know if you're at peace with God or you're fighting against Him. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Folks, we serve a loving God. We serve a God of all grace. We served a God who loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It's a peace that should control our fear. That's peace with God. Fourthly, it's a peace that completes our lives. It's a peace that completes our lives. If you go up one verse in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect," or complete, "that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is," look at this verse, folks, "so are we in this world." See, if you want peace with God, it will show. It will show to your neighbors. It will show to your family. It will show to your co-workers. It'll show in your church. and you'll be complete. What does God's will for our life is? To look like Him. To act like Him. To be like Him. You can't be like Christ unless you know Him. And if you know Christ, you have peace with God. All things, behold, any man being Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are what? Passed away. All things become new, and you have peace with God. Do you have peace with God tonight? If not, you need a relationship with Him tonight. Don't leave here without knowing Christ as your Savior. The second thing is, if you have peace with God, then you can have the peace of God. If you have peace with God, He's reconciled your sin debt through Christ on the cross. Then you can have the peace of God. You can't have this without the other. You've got to have peace with God first before you can have the peace of God. Right. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, it says this. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of what?
Of God."
The peace of God. It's not some self-improvement book. It's not some sort of meditation in something other than Jesus. It says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Remember, that's a peace that makes you complete. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God, oh, here it is again, and the God of peace shall be with you. See, there are conditions to have peace with God. It's to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are conditions to have the peace of God. And you know, I'll tell you what, I found this one out. Worrying does not work. Verse 6 says this, "Be careful." You could translate it as, "Be anxious for nothing." Okay? Don't worry about stuff. It could also be translated, "Just don't worry about anything. God's got it in control." You know why? Because He's sovereign. See, worrying does not work. Now, here's three truths about worrying. Worrying can't change the past. There's so much things about people saying, "Well, I did all this in the past." Let the past go. Start over. Your old things are passed away and all things become new. You don't have the peace of God because peace, people hang on to the past. You know, Paul, he understood his past, but he went beyond it. You know, Ananias, you know, "Hey, Ananias, there's going to be a guy that come by the name of Saul. I know him. He's a chosen vessel unto me." And then what did Paul say? He says, "By the grace of God, I am who I am." He says, "God came to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Folks, our past should show us how much God loves us. Our past should show us how much God is willing to forgive. And if God's forgiven you, you forgive yourself and move on. And if you've forgiven somebody else, you forget about it and move on. And don't bring it up again. You know something? You can't change the past. "Well, they hurt me." Did they ask for forgiveness? "How often should I forgive my brother?" 7 times? No, 70 times 7. Okay? Which to the Jews meant as many times as it needs. So, worrying doesn't work. You know why? Because you can't go back and change the past. We're not time travelers. We don't have a TARDIS. Okay? You can't go and undo stuff. So you can't change the past, and you know something else? You can't control the future. You can't worry about the future. You know, I'm getting ready to retire in my job at Lackland. And people are asking me, are you worried about this? No. Well, do you have all this in your 401k? No. God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. I can't control the future. I can't control what's going to happen. But I do have confidence that I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against what? That day. And why worry about something you can't control? Why worry about something you can't change? You're not God. That's stuff for God. God says, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And you know what worrying does? It makes you miserable. Can't sleep, can't eat. Everything's going wrong. And you know what happens when you worry? You start worrying about this, and you wind up worrying about everything. You think something's going wrong, and then everything's going wrong. And all of a sudden, you forget that God's blessing you, and you forget God's grace. Folks, if you have the peace with God, you'll have the peace of God. And Paul tells, now, wait a second. This is the place where Paul, for throwing out demons out of a woman, was thrown in jail illegally, beaten illegally, shackled illegally. Why? Because they were Roman citizens. And the next day when they found out, they go, uh-oh, we're in trouble. But he has the peace of God so much that he's singing praises with his buddy Silas. And you know something? God heard it. And God caused an earthquake. And God set him free. And God saved the Philippian jailer. And God saved the Philippian jailer's house. And then Paul was let go. See, he could have been miserable. And a lot of people say, I just don't want to serve God because every time people make fun of me. Look at what they did with Christ. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all evil, all manner of evil against me falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, you know something? Worrying doesn't work. You can't change the past. You can't control the future. And it just makes you miserable. Because the more you worry, the more you worry. And then you'll start worrying about everything. How do you stop that? You need to come to this conclusion. Worrying is a sin. Worrying's a sin. Jesus, along his journeys, he stops at a house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Mary comes and sits at the feet of Jesus. Martha is what? The master's here. We've got to take care of all this stuff. And she's going around worrying, trying to get this solved and this solved and this done and this done and this done. In Luke chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, Jesus says this. Think about this. But Martha was cumbered. She was worried. She was weighted down with this. About with what? Much serving, and came into him and said, Lord, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? That's not right. Let's put it in common terms. That's what's happening here. Right. take care of this, Jesus. But her, therefore, bid her, therefore, that she help me. You tell her to go get to work. You're God of creation. You tell her to get to work. I'm doing everything I can for you. I'm worried about everything in your to make your stay comfortable here. Look at how Jesus answered. And folks, there's a lesson in this for us. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. What does Philippians 4:6 say? Be careful for what?
Nothing.
Same word. Same word. Be careful. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Except what? Jesus. But one thing is what? Needful. Which means what? She wasn't complete. She wasn't controlling her worry. She didn't have peace with God. She's in the presence of God. And she didn't have peace with God, so she didn't have peace of God. It says, but one thing is needful. And Mary, that person that you call just no good, lazy, not helpful, not being part of the program, not coming along, and Mary hath chosen the what? Good part. Which shall what? Not be taken away from her. What is Jesus telling Martha? You need to learn of me. You need to take my yoke upon you. You need to do the things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. You need, it's good to want to do good, but the reason you do good is another whole issue. Folks, if you're serving God the way you should, you won't have to not worry about if it's enough or not. You won't have to worry about if you're doing the right thing or not. Just look at the examples of our missionaries. They go over, some of them, like Mike Pepper, they have a ministry and hundreds get saved, and thousands get saved, or Mike Napper and all this. And then there's others that go into a hard country and they maybe get one or two. But see, if you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, you don't have to worry about it. You're doing what God wants you to do, and that's good enough. If you're worried about if you're doing enough from God, then obviously something in your heart's telling you you're not. And we need to surrender to Him. See, worrying doesn't fix anything. And we need to understand that worrying is a sin because it gets our eyes off of God and onto us. See, how do you deal with this? Well, it says in this passage, it says, be careful for nothing but by what? Prayer and thanksgiving, let your what? Request be made known unto God. See, if you look at this passage here, It says that in everything, by prayer and supplication, let with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then what's the next verse? And the peace of God, which what? Passeth all understanding. You can't figure it out. Shall what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So you want the peace of God, you need to pray in everything. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. And then he goes on in verse 8 and says this. You need to change what you're thinking about. Christ told his disciples, take no thought of tomorrow. Which one of you by thought could add a cubit to your stature? Which one of you can add something that you can't create? Except worry. Mary understood who Jesus was and sat down at his feet. Martha said, well, to please God, I've just got to do everything I can for him. No, you do things for God when he tells you to. See, we need to change our thoughts. My question is this, do we think like this? Do we think on whatsoever things are true? There's a lot of false out there right now. Do we think of whatsoever things are honest? You know, there's a lot of people who say, I can cut corners and get ahead. Or whatsoever things are what? Just. I want my way and not their way. I deserve it. See, this is counter to the world. Whatsoever things are what? Pure and lovely and good report. If there be one, any virtue or there be anything, praise, think on these things. So you want the peace of God, you pray. If you want a peace of God, the peace of God, you need to change the way you're thinking. Because look at the next verse. It says, these things which ye have both learned, and what? The God of peace will be with you. And the third thing is, in verse 9, you need to be obedient. He says, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. Okay? It's one thing to think about something. It's another thing to put that thought into action. It's one thing you say you're going to pray for something. It's another thing to actually pray for it. It's one thing that you say that I'm going to trust in God for that, and then you go off in your corner and you worry about it. See, it's not what we say, it's what we do that matters. And if you want the peace of God, my Bible's telling me right here, we need to be obedient. You can't have the peace of God unless you have made peace with God through Christ. And if you have peace with God and you have the peace of God, then lastly, you should have peace with others. Let me just tell you some of the things that the New Testament talks about what we're supposed to do with one another. We're supposed to love one another, honor one another, be of the same mind with one another, accept one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, submit to one another, bear with one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, build one another up. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we need to do that we're not doing because we're just worried about ourselves. See, that's how you have unity. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look not on your own things, but on the what? The things of others. See, peace with others requires three things. This is a prerequisite. In Mark chapter 9, verse 50, it says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? And then Jesus tells his disciples this. He says, have salt in yourselves. And have what? Peace one with another. If you have the peace with God, You have the peace of God, and you'll have peace with others. You can't be at peace with others. Paul writes this. He says, as much as is in you, live peacefully with all men. It should be a prerequisite. It should be a practice. In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. See, if you have peace, if you have the peace with God, and you have the peace of God, you're considering having peace with other people and ensuring that they have peace also with God. And so we need peace with others. It's a prerequisite. It's a practice. And lastly, it's a principle. In James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full. You have peace with God. You are complete because there's no torment. You got perfect love that casteth out all fear. Easy, full of mercy and what? Good fruits. Without partiality. You know why conflict happens in a group of people? Because we tend to hang out with people we like and not with people we don't like as much. How is that peace with others? How is that showing the peace with God or the peace of God? And then it goes on one step further. And without hypocrisy. Well, yeah, I'm friends with them. And then you go outside or you get in the car and you start mincing them. We come in here, we're all one unit, and then we go out and folks, that's not showing peace with God. That's not who what endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Yet he loved them. That's not having the peace of God. Because the peace of God will be manifested when we have peace with others. Hereby, you know that you're my disciples when you have what? When you love one another. Is there peace in your life tonight? Do you have the peace with God? You need to know Jesus Christ. Do you have the peace of God? You basically surrendered and let Him control your life as Lord. And then you have peace with others. My Bible tells me if you have some ought with your brother, leave your gift, go make amends with your brother, and then come to the altar and give your gift. That gift could be service, that gift could be an offering, that gift could be anything. But if we have ought with somebody, we need to get that fixed. Because then if that's all resolved, there's peace with others. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, help us to have peace with you tonight. Lord, let your peace just shine through here tonight. And Father, just saturate our lives. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Have your Holy Spirit have full reign and way here tonight. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.